This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, everybody. Steve Smiley, head men's basketball coach at the University of Northern Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on KFKA.
Just 20 minutes after 12 o'clock here. Joining us now on the First Advantage Hotline, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes and the man of logic when it comes to the NCAA, Mark Johnson, joining us. Mark, my friend, always good to catch up with you, man. Again, a lot on the table to discuss.
There's a lot going on. Hey, by the way, it's snowing in my place. What are you doing in Greeley right now?
Is it? I think it kind of tapered off for a moment, but I don't think we're going to have a break for long. We're going to get more rain.
No, it's snowing like crazy right up at my place.
Oh, man. Yeah. One of those heavy type of snows that destroys all your trees, Mark?
Yep.
Yeah, those are always fun.
Yep, but it's good moisture. And listen, I was out east branding cattle this weekend, and everyone's just dying for moisture. So it's a good thing. I hope it's hitting everybody.
Yeah, same here. We're supposed to have the Rockies game later today, Mark, but I'm wondering if that's not going to be postponed or rescheduled or something.
Yeah, that might be kind of tough, no doubt.
All right, Mark. I got to ask you about the Coach Prime stuff first. He's on that. There was the podcast that he was on. What was it? Anyway, talking about, you know, hey, I look forward to having this conversation with Todd Monken, the head coach of the Browns, to kind of talk to him about Shadur, what makes him tick. Also kind of talking about the fact that he was a little confused by the fact that Jacksonville didn't talk to him about Travis Hunter more. I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on that. Is it that big of a deal? Obviously, that's anytime Coach Prime talks, it does become somewhat of a thing.
Yeah, right. As I always like to say, when he gets up and makes scrambled eggs in the morning, it's front page news.
Yes,
right?
I mean, it is.
I've told Prime before, I said, dude, it would exhaust me if I had to deal with the amount of attention you get all the time. It really would. It would just wear me out. I think, you know, when you look at that, there's two ways to look at this. One is, do you want to talk to the guy's coach? The other is, you can almost frame it as, the high school parent that wants to talk to the coach all the time about their
right.
kid. Right. Right. And so I think you've got to be very careful about that. Now, under the circumstances, I'm quite certain the NFL teams were talking with various people. They probably talked with Pat Shurmur, I would think, about Shadur Sanders, and probably talked to both the coordinators about both those guys at different times. And so is it totally unrealistic that they would talk to the head coach? No, not necessarily. I mean, because they're talking with all kinds of people. And I think Prime understands that. And listen, he fully understands that when he says that, it's going to make a ripple out there. And so I wasn't entirely alarmed to hear that maybe they didn't talk to him. In fact, being that you do have a head coach who is the father as well, it might be purposeful that you don't talk to that person because they are going to be biased, as we all expect them to be. If somebody talks to me about my son, I'm going to be biased, for goodness sake.
Right.
I'm not sure I can give you a fully objective assessment of my son, although my son would tell you that I do give it to him frequently. but the point is, they might have steered away from that for obvious reasons. Let me talk to the people that are not connected to this person, that don't have skin in the game, if you will, so that I'm getting what I think is a completely third-party, unvarnished assessment of this person. And so when I read that he had said that over the weekend, I thought, oh, that's going to get, especially those two NFL markets, that's going to get it really boiling in those two spots in Jacksonville and Cleveland. And so I knew it was going to be a topic of conversation all week long. But I'm not terribly shocked. I think there might be purpose behind it. And I think you can probably make a strong argument on either side.
Mark Johnson joining us, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. All right, how about this one? Ross Dellinger, who is just on it. I mean, every single day he's got a novel mark of potential ideas. But the headline from this article, with potential split from the CSC on the table, I guess that's the College Sports Commission, right, Mark?
Yep, that's the one that gets to assess the NIL agreements out there.
Yeah, and apparently they're actually winning these battles. They are turning away a lot of these dollars And now there's, you know, now there's talk of the SEC and the Big Ten kind of wanting to break away from the CSC. I'm trying to get all these abbreviations right. So this is why it's so confusing, because you were given this. You were given this salary cap thing, but we all knew it was going to go over because we were going to promise external money coming from NIL deals. Well, now the CSC is coming in saying, yeah, a lot of those deals are crap. They're not actually name, image, and likeness deals, so we're turning them away. And now we're hearing a potential threat of the SEC and the Big Ten saying, hey, we're going to take our ball and go somewhere else.
Okay, well, think of the CSC as the clearinghouse. Okay, there used to be the NCAA clearinghouse. Think of it, that's an easy way to get away from the acronyms and all the initials. It's the clearinghouse where what happens is these deals, to make sure they're above board, we send them to the clearinghouse. They're supposed to evaluate them to determine if they're legit or not. Now, isn't it interesting that the vast majority of the ones they're turning down are with the Big Ten and the SEC?
Mm-hmm.
Now, isn't that kind of fascinating out there? So, what this does, I think it shines a light on the fact that we do not have any uniformity in college athletics at all. And so everyone is pushing the envelope all the time, and not surprisingly, the SEC's leading the way in pushing the envelope, as they've been doing for decades upon decades. And so everyone's looking for a way around the rules. Well, when you don't have any uniform, hard and fast rules that are written down and everyone has to agree by them, everyone wants to continue to push the issue here. What this does, what it may work for the fact that the SEC and the Big Ten may decide to kind of break off and go do their own thing, that's been talked about for a long time. But what it does, it shines a light on, and it shows even more so that in this crazy time in which we live, there has to be some sort of collective bargaining. We have to have a uniform set that everyone abides by, agrees to, we can all follow. There's teeth then in the policing of it, but up to this point, we still don't have it. And so this is just, you know, what's the old line, second verse, same as the first? Well, except now we're on about the 25th verse, same as the first. It's the same thing over and over and over again, and we can't seem to somehow. Think of all Brady, all the smart people, all these people we are told are brilliant human beings. These guys are just the smartest of the smartest, these men and women. They are the captains of athletics. They know how to do everything. They're being paid enormous amounts of money, and we can't get our poop in a group and get this thing nailed down and have a hard and fast set of rules surrounding it so that we can all abide by it and move on. You know, somebody said here a short time ago, this isn't that tough. I mean, it really isn't. The NFL, the most successful league in the world, they've got a set of rules, they abide by it. But we just can't seem to figure this out at the college level.
It's wild to me. And again, we have proposal after proposal, idea after idea being presented when it's like, man, we got to get this under control first. I mean, you and I were talking about the playoff expansion. Now we're looking at, obviously, we've got the NCAA men's basketball tournament, women's basketball tournament expansion.
Yep.
Now even talking about changing the way the men's basketball is played, going from halves to quarters. And I'm thinking, that kind of stuff, that's when it's a slow day at the office or a slow year at the office. This is what we need to get a handle on. And it seems like, according to Ross Dellinger's post, like more than $100 million of NIL pay that schools guaranteed athletes that goes uncleared at this stage. So obviously the SEC and Big Ten, you mentioned it, they're getting the majority of these, 75% of those deals being turned away from the SEC and the Big Ten. How realistic, really, is it that the SEC and Big Ten could eventually break away from the NCAA if they don't like how this is being handled?
Well, I think there's a very strong possibility. I've said in your show for years now, there's going to be a breakup of this organization, of the NCAA, of what we have now in college athletics. Now, is it just going to be the Big Ten and the SEC? I'm hard-pressed to believe that just simply that group will pull away. Okay, because you really don't have. And I know you've got, you know, Washington and Oregon and USC and UCLA, but you really don't have a national league. Then I still think that ultimately where this goes, and whatever it is, your top 60, 70 schools, 50, whatever it might be, you pick the number, that they break away and do their own thing. I've been saying it since 1998. That's the first time I heard this, and the person that told me was a very connected person. They said, this is where it's ultimately going to go. And then as I kind of read the tea leaves over the last, 30-some years, I kept saying, holy cow, this makes perfect sense. And you're seeing it move in that direction. I still think it happens. Is it just going to be the SEC and the Big Ten? No. I still think it's going to be that higher-up group. And that's why I've said on your show before, what this is just an enormous game of musical chairs. And you want to make sure that you're on the side that's got a seat when the music stops. Okay? And that's why, from a Colorado perspective, you want to be in whatever that becomes. You want to be in that group. And so it's been so important to kind of navigate and position yourself to make sure that whenever that breakaway goes, that you're going to be part of that. Because you're going to find what we're going to have is just different levels of college athletics. You're going to have that professional level, whatever that ends up looking like, that top 60 or 70 schools. Then you're going to have something similar to what we've had in that next level. And I think then you'll probably still have a non-scholarship type of circumstance that's going to be on the low level. You know, I just had to, here a few weeks ago, if you got a moment, I can tell you
sure.
the story.
Yeah.
My wife and I go to Sedona every year for our half anniversary and for her birthday. And so we were down in Arizona, and I called Gary Barnett. We swung by his place where he lives down there in the winter. We had lunch together. And Gary and I were sitting over lunch, and our wives were, their eyes were glossing over because all we talk about is football, of course. And so Gary looked at me and said, you do understand something, Mark. He goes, this is all taking place for about 3,500 athletes. And I said, what do you mean? He said, Mark, there are 77,000 college football players in America. 77,000. And he said, really, all we're dealing with from a large money standpoint is about 3,500 people. That's it. Think of how small that percentage is. What are we talking about, 5%?
Yeah, wow.
Of the total number? And he said, that's all that's really dealing with this. And so his point was that eventually when this thing breaks off, the vast majority of college football players are going to do the same thing they've always done. And many of them to this day are just doing the same thing they've always done. But we focus on that upper level because that brings the most attention. And so that really kind of altered the way I kind of view this thing. But it's going to happen at some point, yes. There's going to be this breakaway, and they're going to create that mini NFL or whatever they're trying to do. And you want to be, if you're at Colorado, you want to be on the inside of that deal. And then everyone else on the outside is going to kind of go about college football the way it has been for a long time.
Mark, how does that even work? Let's just, the SEC, Big Ten, and they bring other teams with them. They form this NFC-AFC thing. They're their own entity. Are they renting the facilities then? Alabama rents the facility. Their players are not forced to go. They don't have to go to college. I mean, I get that it could happen. I actually truly believe that it will happen. Right. But how does that process then even work on the other side of it?
Well, I think, and we talked about in your show before the fact that Florida State and Louisville, and there's a handful of others that have incorporated athletic departments. And so they're becoming separate entities anyway. And this is just my speculation, okay? I'm not going to credit anybody else in this. I've been speculating on this for years, that eventually what will happen is that said organization, okay, number one, they're not taking any public monies because they're not technically part of the institution. So Title IX does not apply to them, right? It's like a private business then. And maybe they have a licensing agreement, so you maintain the image of the university of, right? In Louisville's case, you still, University of Louisville Cardinals, still have that name and imaging. You have a leasing agreement with facilities, so you're still on campus, so you're still connected to, but you're separate in a sense. And I thought, that's about the only way I can figure out a way around all the different minefields and mines that we're trying to step around here in college athletics, is that you become this separate entity. You've got those naming rights and all those kind of things, which connects you in somewhat to college athletics, but you're really not a college athlete anymore. Because, we've already seen the lawsuits, as you point out, where some of these young men are saying, basically, well, why do I have to go to class? And so that's going to happen as well, I think. And so this thing just continues to roll down that line, and I don't see any way of stopping it at this point in time. But at some point, you have to have a level of collective bargaining. There's got to be a uniform set of rules. You can't have no law and expect lawful activity. Right now, we don't have any law. There's no law to, in large part, to really abide by. You know, everyone's kind of rewriting this as you go along, and as we well know, if you've got a society like that, you have no society at all, which is why this thing continues to be chaotic.
Yeah, it is. It is chaotic, and, you know, what sounded extreme, like you said, since what, 1998,
yeah.
you've been thinking about this and talking about this, what seemed kind of extreme, here we are in 2026, and that doesn't seem extreme at all. It seems like that is a reality that could be hitting very soon.
Well, Brady, back when I first brought that up, and I'll tell you who told me, it was Todd Berry. Todd Berry was a coach at Illinois State University, went on to coach Army, went on to become the president of the American Football Coaches Association. Todd told me that standing on a practice field at Illinois State in 1998. And at the time, I'm trying to figure this out. As you know, I'm in my 20s. I'm trying to figure this out. I'm like, how does that work? And then as I continued to work my way through my career and I began to learn more about it, okay, it made more sense. Then when I started talking about it, initially, I looked like just a moron. I mean, I'd bring it up and people would laugh at me. And I'd say, well, okay. I said, mark the tape. We'll come back in about 20 or 25 years. And now as we talk about it, it doesn't seem crazy. It seems like the only possible option to get any sanity in college athletics. And so it's evolved over the course of these 25, 30 years that I've been talking about it. But right now, we have to do something. This is not sustainable. You're seeing the same numbers that I am. You know, the deficit numbers for athletic departments all around college athletics. I mean, it's getting crazy out there. And I don't know how much longer that can continue until we get our arms wrapped around this thing and have some sense of normalcy and some sense of hard and fast guidance for everybody. Because right now, it's just everyone's just shooting everywhere, and you know, half the time they're hitting somebody, half the time they're not. It's just a mess.
Well said, Mark. Always appreciate your insight on this, and we'll continue monitoring this one among the million other things that we're following in college sports. So appreciate the time as always, my man.
All right, right. See you.
Mark Johnson. There he is. Yeah, Russ Dillinger, Michael. More than $100 million of NIL pay that schools guaranteed athletes. So there's more than $100 million out there that schools told Billy Bob he was going to get if he comes to their school, has been turned away. Uncleared, I guess is the right word. Uncleared. And 75% of that $100 million has come from SEC and Big Ten schools. Ross Dillinger also writes, as the biggest spenders gather at Big Ten meetings, CSC reform, a divisive issue, looms. And NCAA breakaway talks intensify. Everyone is frustrated, is what Ross writes. Everyone is frustrated. So we thought this, I knew this stupid salary cap of $21, $22 million was nothing, because they're going to go over that. Schools were already going over that. They're going to find ways to go over that. They're going to get creative. Now, I still am shocked that more than $100 million, and they're actually winning these cases, because I still find it difficult to prove what's a legitimate NIL deal and what's not. Now, again, if you have the third parties that just don't care and they just write the check and it's like, well, yeah, but you gave it to the money's going to Billy Bob, so you have to have Billy Bob do something. It's like, well, I don't really care. Just go win football games. Well, that doesn't work. It doesn't work. You've got to have them cut commercials, do promos, that kind of, sign autographs at a car wash. I don't know. You have to have them do something. And as easy as it seems like that is to do, I've heard stories from Northern Colorado, not the school, but throughout this area, of where businesses are just like, yeah, he didn't get back to me on this thing. So honestly, I don't know. We just didn't have the time. It didn't connect. I don't know if we'll do this again next year. But they just didn't get it connected. They didn't get their NIL deal done, but they still forked over the cash. It's crazy.
Yeah, there's a difference between a true NIL deal where you have a partnership where you pay the player money and the player comes to your business and helps promote your business. That's what it should be. If you're just paying them to be at the school because you want your school to win, well, then that's not a real partnership. That's just, I don't want to say bribery, but it kind of sounds like it is.
We all say, and we've heard coaches say, Michael, that we are asked to manage a college football team, very similar to how an NFL team is managed, but we don't have salary caps. We don't have anything. There's no market value. There's no like left tackle market value. It's just value. It's thrown out there. So we're asked to manage teams based on not having any of the restrictions that the NFL has in place. That is the fix. That is the fix, Mike, is the SEC Big Ten breakaway, because if they're independent, they set their own salary. They go do their own thing. We've now got a salary cap in place. We can pay these guys whatever, and it doesn't have to come from a booster. It doesn't have to be a promised NIL deal. It can flat out be, we're signing you to a four-year contract. And then we don't even really have, they're not college players. So this whole 5-5 thing, that could go away too. Where this is literally just semi-pro, and I can sign you to 5 years, you could play here for the rest of your career. You make good enough money, you might not need to go to the NFL. That is a reality, and I can't really get my brain to completely wrap around it, but that's where we're headed. As soon as the SEC and the Big Ten really look at this, I mean, they already are, and say, is all of this worth it? You know, we got money to make here, but we can't make it because we can't get the players we want. You're shutting us down now. And this NIL thing was just a fun, cute way of us getting more money. It's almost like a way of money laundering. You know, it's like, hey, we're already over the salary cap, but I can go over that salary cap because I've got the big bank that's sponsoring us, and they just threw out $10 million to us to use accordingly to our teams, to go to certain players. Well, you as the school now have to figure out, okay, we got to make sure Billy's doing his NIL deal or that's going to get turned away. So how do you fix it? You take your ball and you go away and you create your own guidelines. You don't have to rely on the NCAA to create the CSC who's going to shut down your pipelines because they're saying those aren't real, man. So this seemed like a decent idea at first to avoid the cheating and under the table stuff. Might actually come back to bite the NCAA in a very, very big way. We'll talk more about this. We've got some texts coming in. 42 minutes after the hour. Mike, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.